The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Skin cancer is the most common cancer in Ireland. However, it's also one of the most preventable types of cancer. It occurs when cells in the skin become damaged over many years, usually from UV in sunlight. The most common forms of skin cancer are basal cell carcinomas, BCCs, squamous cell carcinomas, SCCs, but of course there are melanomas as well. We're joined by Professor Nikki Ralph, consultant dermatologist with the Institute of Dermatology, to talk about how to protect yourself from that UV exposure, and also how to watch out for the signs that you may already have one of these cancers. Nikki, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Very common.
Super common, yeah. So we have over 13,000 cases a year in Ireland, of which over around 1,100 would be melanoma. So really, for anyone listening, the most important thing is early detection, meaning that things are really treatable and really curable. So get to know your skin, get to examine your skin and do it on a regular basis and help your partner. It's partners are great at detecting.
Okay, now how do you spot each type?
So the commonest would be the basal cell carcinoma, as you mentioned. They basically are often pink to kind of skin coloured. They can be a kind of a flat, scaly plaque, like a piece of dry skin that just doesn't go away. Most commonly on sun exposed sites, so like your ears, your face, the back of your hands, your back. And they can also present as like a little bump, so a little nodule that just won't heal. And sometimes they start to bleed, which is when people pick
up
on it.
Can they spread?
Very, very rarely would a basal cell carcinoma ever spread.
They just become unsightly.
Yeah, exactly. And annoying. They can get a bit sore and start to bleed. But it's really if someone left it for like, you know, 3 to 4 decades, that type of thing. But most people would pick up on it sooner than that. Yeah.
Now, what's a squamous cell carcinoma then?
So squamous cell carcinoma is slightly different in that they can be a little bit more aggressive. They tend to be, again, they can be often scaly. Sometimes they can be tender, again, in common sun exposed sites. If they're in very high risk sites, like close to the eyelid or close to the nose, the lip, the ear, that tends to be what we call a higher risk site. So they can possibly metastasize. So again, early detection is key.
The one we really worry about is melanoma.
Yes, that is the one we worry about because it is known to spread. So melanoma is graded on different stages. So if we catch it when it's all in situ, so when it's all contained, that would essentially be melanoma in situ or stage zero. And then we grade it stage 1, 2, 3 and 4, depending on where it might have spread. But for the majority of people, we do catch them at an early stage. So stage 0, 1 or 2, meaning that they just have to have the lesion cut out. And then everyone, the gold standard of care for everyone is to get a second surgery to take a larger piece of skin to try and prevent that melanoma.
So once you go in and then you do biopsy on what you've taken out, and if it's
exactly
a melanoma, then you go in and do large.
Yeah, so I suppose what biopsy, because everyone uses that term, biopsy means taking a small piece of a larger area, and we do that for basal cells and squamous cells, whereas with melanoma we don't actually biopsy it, we take out the lesion in its entirety with a 2 millimeter margin, so it's gone from the beginning and then we go back.
You don't
and take
hang around in other
exactly
words.
We don't hang around.
Now how big might it be?
Well, for most people, when we're looking, we use the kind of A, B, C, D and E guideline as to how to look for changes in your mole. So A meaning asymmetry, B meaning that the border might become jagged or irregular, C is for colour change, D is for diameter. So I tend to say to patients, if it's bigger than 6 millimetres, which is roughly the tip of an eraser on a pencil, if something is getting bigger than that, and then E is for evolution. So if it's changing in shape, size, colour, then you absolutely need to go and get it checked out. Now, of course, if somebody leaves something long enough, you could have a 1 centimetre melanoma, 2 centimetre melanoma, but for majority, they're not that large, you know?
Yeah. Now, how would you know you had one? Suppose it was on your back, and I don't know where they commonly occur. I mean, you mightn't see your back.
No, that's absolutely the truth. So really, you know, we are relying on people learning how to do a skin check. So using a full length mirror to check your skin regularly. I usually say once a month, getting to know your own moles that you already have so that you can tell if they're changing over time or have you developed a new one. So for melanoma, everyone thinks it's a mole that you've already had that's going to change, but actually that's only in 20 to 30% of the cases, and the other 70% plus are you wake up one day and you start to see something new growing on your skin. But if it is on your back, rely on your partner. But women are 9 times better than men at picking
it up. Women often wear low cut dresses at the back, you know, which reveal their back, and therefore they're quite conscious of anything that might pop up there that would be unsightly, and that may be good for diagnostics.
Yeah, absolutely. And fake tan is good because you get to know your own skin. You put it on regularly, so you know where all your moles are.
Now, what about pain and bleeding in the case of melanoma? Does that ever occur? I mean, pain is a good way to detect lots of things. You know,
yeah.
if there's something wrong with you, you
yeah.
get a pain, must check that out.
But they're usually not painful.
Not painful.
That's the thing. So it's kind of a silent thing. So it could be on your back for, you know, months to years and you wouldn't know. Absolutely, bleeding is when the top layer of the skin starts to erode away. You may have bleeding. For majority of melanomas, again, they're not usually bleeding. You know, we usually pick up on them earlier than that.
Are they inevitably linked to the sun?
Yes. So it's either UV radiation that we've all picked up over the decades of our life or the use of sunbeds. So absolutely never use a sunbed.
So if you were in a convent for all your life, you might get one on your face, but nowhere else.
Yeah, it'd be unlikely, you know, as in, of course, there's the odd person who just is unlucky. Melanomas can occur internally. They can occur at the back of your eye.
Mind you,
you would
exposure as a child. You know, you're on the beach, you haven't had any sunscreen.
Yeah.
And then you go into the convent.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the damage is done.
No, the damage is done. Up to 80% of your lifetime's UV is by the time you're 20. So if we can just, you know, educate children now to protect them, put on rash vests, put on their sunscreen regularly, get them used to wearing a hat, all of those things will really help for their future.
Now, the use of sunscreen, people will dig into the bottom of the drawer and find the sunscreen the last time we had
last
a bit
year.
Of sunshine.
Yeah.
Now, does that go off?
You know, if a bottle is unopened, and even though it might look like it's out of date at the bottom, it'll still actually be valid for up to 2 to 3 years after that.
Yeah.
But if it's been previously opened in the bottom of your suitcase, went to Spain for 2 weeks, came back with you, then that needs to be discarded. So anytime it's been exposed to heat and the sun, the chemicals will change and you need to discard that one.
All right. So for people who discover they have a melanoma, I mean, there are, as well as the surgical treatments, there are new drugs coming along, but...
Yeah.
I don't know how good they are and...
No, they literally have been life-changing. So we do have immunotherapies. I mean, if you were asking me this question 20 years ago, we had way more limited therapies and they were pretty nasty. You know, a lot of significant side effects. Whereas now the new immunotherapies mean that some patients with, you know, stage 4 melanoma can have a normal quality of life. And yes, they have to go into hospital and have their treatment on a regular basis, but then they can come off their treatment and still be just having regular skin checks, but no longer on treatment. So, but the whole point is really try not to detect it at stage 4. We want to detect it at stage 1 when you're offering somebody a cure.
Yeah. Now, there are people with different skin types. You would be fair skinned, I presume.
Yeah.
And you don't go out in the sun at all if you can possibly avoid
No, I avoid it. Yeah. So a style of clothing for me is even more important than sunscreen.
You could be a nun then, quite successful.
I could be. I could be top to toe covered. And you will see me. Actually, a colleague of mine recognised me at the swimming pool with the towel all over me on holidays recently, covered from
That's
top to toe.
That's got to be Nikki.
That's got to be a dermatologist covered up at the side of the pool. But no, sunscreen is absolutely vital and I wear it all year round, 365 days a year. The only month in Ireland that you cannot get damage from the UV rays is actually January. And every other month, of course, you're not going to get burnt in February or March in Ireland because the UVB is not strong enough.
Yeah.
But from May till October, UVB is at its highest.
We
so
all
you
have
could possibly
to be very
get
careful.
Burnt.
Yeah. There are different skin types. And I mean, I know someone who's currently living to a great age who used in a very hot climate where she grew up baby oil.
Yeah.
Without anything in it.
Yeah.
Maybe the odd drop of iodine to give it an extra glowing tan, but has the kind of skin that will go dark, you know, in half an hour.
Yeah.
Are they safer from these?
No, cancers? I mean, they definitely have more pigmentation, so they will tan. But the only thing that tan is damage, ultimately. And people with what we call type 6 skin, which is the darkest skin, they still get melanoma, unfortunately. And they tend to get it at a more aggressive stage and often on the sites where they don't have the pigment. So the palms of their hands, the soles of their feet, on their lip. So it doesn't mean that you're immune to getting melanoma just because you can tan easily. But certainly people do tan more regularly when they know they can.
Yeah. Now, some of the questions coming in. If I had a weird looking mole for years, but it hasn't changed at all, is it fine?
Well, if it's not continuing to change, that is more reassuring. Not every mole looks like a perfect circle or a perfect oval.
Okay.
So it may be just the type of mole that you make. But if you think it's changing, certainly go to your GP and get it checked.
My husband worked out of doors for years, basically always looked brown and tanned. Should he get checked? He has moles that look like simple freckles everywhere.
Yeah, so again, all of your freckles tend to start to merge and you just look like you have a permanent baseline tan. But if somebody has worked outdoors for years, then they'll certainly have a much higher cumulative amount of UV. They should just get a basic check.
In the last year, my doctor has frozen off some really small scaly spots on my head and ears recently, saying they were precancerous. What were they? That's from DEC.
So that sounds like they were actinic keratosis, actinic meaning sun-induced, keratosis meaning scaly. So they tend to be pink scaly spots and they are a pre-squamous cell carcinoma. But it doesn't mean that every single one of them would turn into a squamous cell, but approximately one in 200 would.
Another one. I have a mole on my abdomen. It has a perfectly circular light brown halo around the mole itself. Is that concerning? Because the mole itself hasn't changed at all, but has developed a halo.
Yeah, no. I mean, it doesn't mean there's anything necessarily wrong with it. They almost look like a donut shape, or we call them a fried egg, where it might be slightly darker in the centre and paler around the edges. But if it hasn't changed, the best thing with smartphones is to take a photo and to look at that photo again, take a little measurement with a ruler,
okay,
and every 3 months just keep an eye on it. And if there's no changes, that's
reassuring.
So you
can DIY.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Do the UV rays used in shellac nails increase the risk of melanoma?
So the old-fashioned UVA lamps absolutely have been shown, but now the majority of salons are using LED, which is way less. So just make sure that wherever you're going, they're using the LED lamps. And I advise everyone to put sunscreen on the back of their hands.
Because sometimes they use UV to cure the fillings in your mouth now.
Yeah, yeah.
And you wouldn't want to be getting
melanoma
in your gob.
Yeah, but it's only for seconds. That's the good thing.
My two-year-old is scratching her eczema till it bleeds every day. She's in agony, and yet the wait for a dermatologist is 18 months.
I know. It's really what she needs to do is to try and moisturise regularly with something like over-the-counter, really inexpensive, something like Silcox Base 2 to 3 times a day, and to definitely go to the GP and get some topical steroids to put onto that area.
Okay. There'll be more on this with Andrea Gilligan later. She'll be talking to Paul Darby, who noticed a small black spot on his ear, and it turned out to be a melanoma. My melanoma was a freckle, not a mole, luckily spotted by a great GP. That's from Barbara.
Brilliant, yeah. That's fantastic. I mean, they can start as a very just flat lesion, so they just look like a little brown freckle, but then they might start to change in the shape, the size, the colour. So great that it was picked up early.
When you detect a cancer, do people stay with a dermatologist or do they move on to an oncologist?
So it depends on the grading. But if it's an early melanoma, the dermatologist takes care of everything, and only if it's one that has spread do they necessarily need scans and lymph node biopsies, and then they would go on to an oncologist for potential treatment if it's a stage 3 or 4 melanoma.
Your job is great. You spend your days making people look better and feel better.
I know. Not me today though, Pat. I definitely have a face for radio after I've lasered it off.
You did. What did you do? Because you put this on social media. You're not behind the door about
no,
this.
No, absolutely not. So I did Secret Pro, which is a combination of radio frequency microneedling and a CO2 laser. But I actually look like I have what we call effudixed my face, which is a treatment that I use for all of my patients who have pre-skin cancer. So actinic keratosis or early basal cell carcinomas or Bowen's disease, which again is the top layer of the skin, has pre-skin cancer. And you put this cream on twice a day for 3 weeks and your skin peels off. So I look like I have done that. So for anyone out there, put your sunscreen on. Do not need to do this treatment in the future because it's not for the faint-hearted.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
I felt sorry for you yesterday when I saw
that. I'm fine now. I'm day 6 and hopefully by day 7 I'll be perfect tomorrow.
All right, Nikki, thank you very much for joining us. Professor Nikki Ralph, consultant dermatologist with the Institute of Dermatology.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.